You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Simple obedience, Father, changes history, Lord. And we obey because we love, because we are loved, Lord, by the creator of the universe, by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, we love you, Father, and we thank you for your presence that is here. We thank you, Lord, for calling us into your family, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for saying yes. For saying yes. Thank you, Jesus, for saying yes. Thank you for saying yes to the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross. Thank you, Jesus, for resurrecting. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Father. Oh, da da da, Mashiach. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Isn't it exciting to know that He is alive? Beyond exciting. I don't know what the right word is. So aren't we just overwhelmed? We should be undone at the fact that our God is alive and that He loves us and that He loves us and that He loves us. Life, He is living. He is active. He's living and active. So we thank you, Lord, that this morning, Father, as we gather as a family, as a church family, Lord God, that our eyes are in you, Lord, that our eyes are in you, Holy One. We thank you, Father. Oh, just can't stop thanking you, Lord. Just can't stop thanking you, Holy One. Can't stop thanking you. Thanking you, Lord. Just thanking you, Holy One. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And we just thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for your heart, for the beat of your heart, Lord God, for what you have for us this morning. We thank you that everything will unfold in your name, Father, sealed by the blood of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, good morning, Frontline Worship Center. Are we alive? Well, we're going to get more aliver, if that is a word. More aliver. Well, before we jump into what I believe the Lord has for us this morning, we have some wonderful women that have some good things to share with us. I do want to highlight a couple of things. We were at Jackson Park this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and it was good and it was great. We made new friends and we welcome our new friends. So we are just so grateful for that opportunity and that time that the Lord gave us there. Coming up this coming Friday is First Friday, downtown Canton. So gear up for our booth there. It's going to be great. It's 4th of July weekend, so it's going to be busy, lots of people. So please come. Please talk to Andy, who's in the back, if you're able to come. That's First Friday, this coming Friday. There's our wonderful booth at Jackson. And then we'll have a similar booth, probably not that fancy smanchy at the First Friday, but we'll be there as well. So some good moments in time. I'm going to have Jamie come up, and she is going to tell us some very important information about something else that's coming up next weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, next Sunday, a week from today.
Woo! So what holiday is this week? 4th of July. This has nothing to do with it. Just thought I'm going to ask you. After 4th of July is the Sunday, a week from today, we're having our annual missions picnic to celebrate missions and to celebrate what God's doing in the nations. And so we made an announcement a couple weeks ago about how this is going to look different than previous years. We've always used this as an opportunity to celebrate the mission team of the summer that was being sent out, or the mission team that went a couple months prior. But this time and going forward, we're really going to be celebrating the all-encompassing missions that we do here, but not just our missions that us adults get on a plane for, but also Green Light missions as well, which is really special. It's a leg of Frontline Ministries International that's part of missions. It's just a different age group, no different. They share the gospel. They go down to First Friday. They were at Jackson Celebration. They're having an amazing outreach mission trip in August as well. And so they have something really special that they're also preparing. We have training weekends that the adults are a part of. When we travel overseas, this is kind of similar. They have Green Light missions every Sunday. So they're being trained up. It's just on a different day, different time. And they're learning some incredible things. Rachel Larson has been putting together literally like a curriculum that's been evolving itself over months. And others that have been inputting with, narrating that and putting sketches with that. And it's just been absolutely amazing. This is literally Frontline original from the ground up. So it's really exciting. So it's the different age group leg of missions. Our children from grades, I think, kindergarten to sixth grade, that share and get together on Sunday mornings, like I was just saying, and then they have a mission trip this August that they're going to be a part of. So on next Sunday, though, we have some really cool things that we're also doing with some booths, and it's going to be really interactive and really fun. We'll have some taste testing things from different international foods, and then some fun games that'll make you feel like you're actually in the country, hopefully. So that'll be really fun. So it's not just for us here in Frontline. We hear this stuff all the time. If you're new here this morning, it might be your first time, but we are going to be just really putting on display what God's been doing, pictures and information. So this is for us, but it's also for our neighbors and our community. And so I really encourage you to take a flyer that's out in the foyer to pass out to people around you, people that have supported you. Think of the 20th mission celebration. Yeah, it's on a, looked a little different. It was a little more formal, and we had other speakers that came. But this is similar in a lot of ways. And so we want people to come, and we want them to be blessed. We want them to see maybe God's calling on their life to go to Mozambique next year, go to Ghana this fall, go to Brazil, in January. So I have flyers for that. And then I also, if I can just help me with this, take one of these flyers. You know about it, so if you don't want to keep one, that's fine, but take two to give to your mom or dad, or to give to somebody that's always asking you questions about it, or are curious, or just interested. Anybody for that matter. And then I also have a sign-up sheet. The food is going to be provided by Frontline. If you'd like to donate to that, you can put that in the offering. But we do have a sign-up sheet for all of you to be a part of to help with desserts. So that's brownies, apple pie, blueberry pie, chocolate chip cookies, any dairy-free things that are options for others. We want that to be available as well. So I'm going to pass this around and start in the first row. otherwise, if I haven't already been in touch with you, I might be this week. And then also, the Mozambique team is leaving. Raise your hand, stand up, or raise your hand if you're going to Mozambique this summer. Woo! So we are leaving July 11th. That has come up much faster than normal. Maybe it's just me. But literally, we're leaving. And so we are going into a place where the please don't do that, Gabriel. Where the cyclone has hit in northern parts of Mozambique. And we will be traveling into some of those areas where people have lost their homes. People have been literally displaced from everything they own and without nothing. And so Pastor Jose has been somebody with his team, a part of IRIS, that has gone in and has distributed blankets. He's brought food. I mean, these people have nothing. Imagine if you woke up the next day, you literally, this amazing house that you live in, and it was completely, utterly crushed into the ground in rubble. And you had no food, you had no water source. It was all dirty. Just picture yourself in that situation. And so we're going into a place where it's truly devastated. And we want to bring money to bless. And we want to bring things to also bless. And we need extra money for extra baggage because it costs. There's always a dollar sign next to the stuff. So if it's on your heart and if you're moved by that, just pick up the offering slip in front of your chair. Put Mozambique Relief and put it in the offering. And it will be such a blessing to the people that maybe you might one day meet, maybe you won't meet, but it's an eternal investment. So I just encourage you to do that and be encouraged. In Jesus' name. And shoes as well, which you know more about that. If
reminder real quick. Since we are leaving for Mozambique in about 10, 11 days, we are, Pastor Jose is also head of Sunshine Irish Soccer Academy. And if you see in the back foyer, we already have a couple of boxes full of cleats to take to the kids over there for this soccer academy. We're still looking for like sweatsuits, like warm-up kind of jerseys, more cleats, goalie gloves, that sort of thing. So please keep that in mind. I have lots of coupons for Dick's. You can shop at other places from Dick's too. I know like Play It Against Sports, you can get gently used things for fairly cheap. So just keep that in mind. We're leaving very soon, so we're coming down to the wire here with these donations. Thank
you. Yes, the team leaves July 11th. Yes, July 11th. So please keep all of that in mind. And as Jamie pointed out, if you have something to give, offerings, donations, gifts of love, our offering box is in the back. We don't usually highlight all the time, but we're highlighting it. So next up is going to be actually an important part of Frontline that we don't hear about maybe from the front too often, but Carly and Christy are going to be talking to us for a few minutes here, so hang with us, hang with them regarding our children's home in Rajahmundry, India.
Yes. Hello, everybody. Good morning. I don't dress like this every Sunday, unfortunately, but this lovely outfit is from India, where, in case anyone is not aware, we do actually have a children's home that now houses 33 children. So we are calling today Rajahmundry Sunday, and just to make sure that everyone is aware of the children's home and the amazing things that are going on there and how you can be a part of it. So just to start, the history of Rajahmundry Children's Home, it was established in 2009. So there's a picture from 2009. Our pastors were in India. Some of you here were there as well. And there is just a handful of the children. But it actually started with 18 children living in the home. So there was a partnership made through a connection in India of a pastor and his wife, Pastor Dewa and Sunitha, that had this desire or had this children's home, and Frontline is able to partner with this and take it under our banner. And at that time, we started doing sponsorships for those 18 children. And we'll talk about the sponsorship part of it a little bit later, but we've got a couple other pictures through the years. The next one there is 2012, has some more of the kids. You can see most of them are still definitely children at that point in time. Then fast forward, there's 2016, which was the last time that I got to go to India. There's, again, all of the children. Some of them are now, you know, teenagers, adolescents. And then this is 2019. Many that started as children are still part of the home and are now going to college. They're young adults, you know, 18, 19, 20, so 21 even. And so it's really been an amazing thing to be able to partner with them through these years and see these, what you know, they were children, they've been growing physically, spiritually, their daily needs are met, they're receiving an education even now up into college or technical school, trade school. They get to choose what they want to pursue, which is an opportunity that not all of the children in India have, but because of our partnership, we're able to provide that for them. And as I said, we do now have 33 children, and that's because at the beginning of the year, Pastor Dewa has a brother named Pastor Prabhaka or Pastor Shanti, kind of goes by both of those names. His wife is named Sumati, and then they have some children of their own, but they also had a children's home. And up until recent years, they had been sponsored by a different church from the U.S., but unfortunately, that's sponsorship ended for them a couple years ago. So we've always been connected with them. There's literally an alleyway between the two children's homes that's maybe from where Christy is to where I am here. And that was our Rajahmundry Frontline Children's Home, and this was the other children's home, but they're brothers. The kids all play together. They all minister together. So after, you know, prayerful consideration, just seeking God's heart, we knew that God's desire was to really bring those children's homes together and all under the Frontline banner. So that means that we inherited all of those children as our own. So we now have 33 children and actually young adults. A lot of those children were already adolescents and young adults as well. Some of them are in college or in middle or junior high, high school. And so because of that, and because of some other, you know, changes, people coming in, going out, we have 12 children that currently still need sponsorships. So again, we'll talk about that aspect in a moment, but I think first we're going to share on kind of the impact that this sponsorship has. As I said, their physical needs are met. They're being raised up spiritually. When I got to spend a night with the girls in the home in 2016, which was so much fun. I know Troy has done that with the young men, and others I think have as well. And they wake up early in the morning to spend time with the Lord, to worship, to soak, to get into the Word of God. And it was so incredible to see that they were initiating that themselves. It wasn't like Pastor Sunitha was coming in and saying, okay, time to wake up. It was the older girls waking everyone up and getting together and doing that. So it's really awesome to see that. They also do a lot of outreaches. We have some pictures of that as well. So if you want to go on to the next one, they're helping to prepare food. They're for an outreach. They've always been part, when we go there, they're always part of our outreach to the leper colonies and also to the villages. So there they are praying over the food. They're handing out the food. Oh, there's more. A serving, preparing food. They're going out to those on the streets. And the ones that you see handing the food out, these are our children, our young adults that are part of the Frontline home. When we were there, also 2016, they came on an outreach with us and got to step out and praying for healing. And many of them were baptized in the Holy Spirit on that trip. So that was really amazing to be part of. That's John. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's John. So yeah. There, is that all of them? Okay. So yeah, as you can see, they're really being raised up as missionaries in India, which as we know, there's, you know, persecution and things that go along with that. But thankfully, up until this point, they've really been protected. And they are bold. We go out. When I was there, we went out into the villages. And they, you know, carried signs. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. They're singing songs, walking through the village, which gets people to come out, see what's going on. Then we had the opportunity to talk to them, offer prayer, share the gospel. And they're doing this on their own when we are not there also. So really, really incredible. And the children, they know you. Like, if you are sponsoring a child, that child knows your name. They know all of your children's names. When we go there, they ask about you. They want to know how you're doing. They love seeing pictures, and they love getting letters from us. So if you are currently sponsoring a child, we thank you so much for that, because it's truly making a huge impact on their lives. We encourage you. We do letters at Christmas where we really make sure everyone gets a letter in, but you're able to write a letter anytime during the year. And today you'll all be receiving an updated sponsorship card. Some of these pictures, I was like, wait, is that really that? And I'm just, they've grown up so much. Like, it's incredible. But their birthdays are on here. So if you haven't, that hasn't been something that you've remembered, we'd love to see, you know, to be able to send them letters for their birthdays and really any other time when they start school. I'm sure they would love to receive that encouragement from you as they're continuing to progress. And many of them are asking for prayers for their studies and their schoolwork. And so anytime you want to get a letter to them, you can just, you know, email it to Christy, and she will get it to Sunitha, and Sunitha will make sure the children receive it. Again, they really love that, so we encourage you to do that. And then in Christmas time, we send them a gift, and that usually provides a new outfit for them and any other needs that they have. And then they usually send us letters as well. So again, just to really show you a picture of the impact that this sponsorship has on these children, Christy's going to read a letter from one of the young adults named Manoj, who Carl and Darlene, the Maxfield family, have been sponsoring for a number of years.
Hello, Uncle Carl, Aunt Darlene, and my sweet little bro Everett and sweet little sis Riley. I wish you all Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Hope you are doing well there by the grace of God. I am so glad to hear about all the family. I am happy to see my brother and sister growing. They are such a blessing. They look so cute in the picture. Thank you for sending it, and also thank you for the letter and Christmas gifts. They mean a lot to me. I am always encouraged that I have a family in the U.S. who has been supporting me in every way from 10 years. I am so thankful to you for taking care of me all these years. I love you so much, and I have been praying for you all. God has sent you into my life. Thank you for encouraging me through the letter. I am looking forward to becoming an engineer like you, Uncle Carl. I will finish my engineering in 2020. This year, I am planning to learn English, speaking, and communication skills because I will be having campus interviews next year. I wish I could get a job, though, so please remember this in your prayers. I wish this scripture will come true in your lives in this new year. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. Yours lovingly, Manoj.
I mean, that right there shows how this truly makes a difference in these kids' lives. So we just want to take a moment to thank and honor those in this house that have been sponsoring children. Like I said, we do have an updated sponsorship card for you as well. So when I call your name, feel free to stand, and then we'll get this card to you. So sponsoring Ravi Teja are Andy, Nick, and Leslie, and Joe. Let's give them a hand. Sponsoring Raju are Will and Sherry Brocious. Not sure if they're here this morning. sponsoring small Ashok, as they call him, is Justin. Sponsoring Manoj is the Maxfield family. Sponsoring Vijay and also Prem Kumar are the Whites. Sponsoring John and Big Ashok are the Larsons. Sponsoring Swathi are the Hayes. Sponsoring Swarupa are Ashley and Denny Mittler. Sponsoring Saruthi are the Jacques. Sponsoring Silajar are the McCrays. Sponsoring Bhavani are the Groovers. Sponsoring Pravalika and Divya are the Lip Tacks. And then our pastors sponsor Jothi and Jabili. Jordan and myself have the privilege of sponsoring Joy and Suresh. That's kind of fun because we sponsored them separately before we were together in any way, shape, or form. And then we learned that they were brothers, as we saw. That was really sweet. When I went there in 2016, most of the kids called me sister, but Joy was six or seven at that point in time, and he called me mommy. And as I showed him pictures of Jordan and me, he would say, mommy, daddy. So, so precious. And then sponsoring Vanilla are the Shocks, who many of you know as well. So as I said, that leaves 12 children that are not currently being sponsored. They're children that we know and love just as well. We'll have sponsorship cards for them by the end of service out in the foyer. So if you have a desire to partner with us in sponsoring these kids, we encourage you to see us at that back table. You can see their pictures and get the information about their names and all of that. What the sponsorship entails is, yes, certainly.
So the sponsorship of these children is just within Frontline. We're not offering this to anyone else outside of Frontline. This is a family, a thing. So just to keep that in mind, we're their family, we're their sponsorship. So I wanted to just present that to you, that we're keeping this a family thing, a Frontline family thing. So we are their sponsors. We are the ones sponsoring them. And then did you want to, I could just. So I just wanted to read the breakdown of the sponsorship. So it's $35 each month for their daily needs. So that would be food, clothing, and so on. Those would be for daily needs. There are school fees that are due April 1st. What is this?
No, they're due in April 1st through 10th class.
Oh, sorry.
Maybe okay, sure. Okay, so the school fees are due in April. You advance to their next grade in May, so we like to get those to them ahead of time. So for 1st through 10th class or grade, the price ranges from about $35 to $65 for their school fees and supplies, so really very reasonable. That's, yes, per year. So those would be due in April. Then, if they decide to pursue college or trade school, the amount increases anywhere from $300 to $400, which depends on what grade they're in and also what they choose to pursue. So I know we have some that are pursuing nursing, some that are pursuing engineering, trades, lots of different things. So again, that is up to the child, which is incredible. Young adult, really. And then it's $300 to $400 a year, which if you think about how much college in the United States costs, that's a steal. My goodness. So I know it can be, when April comes along and we say, oh, by the way, your child has advanced to college, the cost is now $350. That's a big jump from what you paid, the $65 you paid the previous year. But we know that God's desire is to provide for them. And we do receive additional donations for this as well. If you're here today and you want to sponsor, you want to help support this, but you're not really able to commit to a monthly sponsorship at this point in time, you can feel free to put in a donation just labeled Rajamundry, and we will make sure that it goes to them as well. Do we not? Oh, Rick and Kim, did we miss you guys? So sorry. He just had a birthday. Sorry. So Kim and Rick sponsor Ravi. I printed out his card, and then I realized his birthday was a few days ago, so he was a year older than what the card said, so I wanted to print it again. Sorry we didn't get to do that in time. We'll have it for you by the end of service. But thank you, Rick and Kim. And happy birthday, Ravi. Anyone is welcome to make a donation at any point in time, and it will go towards the school fees or other needs at Rajamundry. You can use the offering cards to do that. And then in December, we send a Christmas letter, and typically $30 for a Christmas gift. Again, that usually gets them a beautiful new outfit and shoes or, you know, other things like that that they would need. So... again, we'll have that all out on a table at the end of service. We encourage you to stop by if this is something that you would like to be a part of.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you, everyone, for hanging in there listening. It's all important information, especially when we're dealing with lives on the other side of this wonderful world that we live on. So thank you all for listening, and obviously we wanted the kids to be able to hear that because we're talking about children and lives and families and impacts. So Kingdom Kids, you are released to your places. All right. Everyone, did you all stretch out a little bit? Stretch out, wiggle around, wake yourselves up. Well, it's a good day and it's a good morning and it's almost going to be a good afternoon. So I am going to just jump right in. Well, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for everything that you've already imparted, you've given to us, Lord. We just thank you that you are the leader, Father God, that you are the one directing. And we just thank you, Lord, that you will fill my mouth with your words, with your heart, with your spirit, Lord God, that I will be able to articulate, Holy One, what I believe you have for us this morning. So we love you, Jesus, and we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are living and that you speak to us because you love us and you have good things for us, Lord. So we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Well, unless you hadn't been able to tell, I am the one sharing with you this morning. To officially introduce myself, I am Cynthia Liptek. I I love Jesus here and have since a long time. I moved originally from Arizona, moved to Ohio, I think it was 2003. So I've been here a while. Anyhow, so that's who I am in a very small nutshell. But I just love it when the Lord is speaking, because you would think that Josh and I talked about what songs to share. You would think that Christy picked that letter because it had the verse that I'm starting with. I just love when the Lord does that, especially when, you know, you just want to be sure that you're on track with the Lord. But it's just so good. So as I was praying, I just really, I just started hearing these words. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't tap out, don't throw in the towel. Don't quit, don't stop, don't tap out, don't throw in the towel. So I don't know in what realm that hits you, but I really believe that the Lord is speaking that this morning, that he's saying, don't stop, don't quit, don't tap out, and don't throw in the towel. Because he loves us with a fierce and powerful love. Because as Jeremiah 29:11 says, that he has plans for us to prosper us, to not to harm us, but for hope in a future, just as the young man put in his letter. So if the Lord has planned for us to give us hope, to give us a future, not to harm us, but to prosper us. That is who he is. That is his intention. That is why he created us. That's why he's here, why he loves us. Because he is with us. Because he has plans for you to prosper you. He has hope for you. He has a future for you. So don't stop. Don't quit. Don't tap out and don't throw in the towel. In your relationship with the Lord and the things that he's called you to and the things that he's anointed you for, don't stop and don't quit. Because that's exactly what the enemy of our lives and souls would want, for us to stop and to quit. But the Lord is saying, I have a purpose, I have a plan, I have hope, I have a future for you. When we say yes to Jesus, when we first said yes to Jesus, whether that was yesterday, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 months ago, when we said yes to Jesus, we said yes to a new life. We said yes, and we became new creations. We're becoming new every day, and that's 2 Corinthians talks about that, that we're new. We're new creation. The new has come, and the old has gone. So in that process of the new coming and the old going, there are processes. There's a process that we go through. Just like as a, you know, in a human, when he is born, when a child is born, when we were born, we all had to learn how to do everything, right? How many of you were born knowing how to walk? Right? None of us knew what we were doing as babies, because we were babies. So in the same way, when we become new in the Lord, we start to learn. We start to learn as his children. We start to learn about his powerful love. And we start to learn about the hope that he is and that we can have in him. A hope that cannot be shaken. We start to learn in this love relationship that we enter how to trust the Lord, because he is faithful. Because he is faithful. And as I kept hearing those words, don't stop, don't quit, don't throw in the towel, don't tap out, it took me a while to figure out, Lord, what are you, yes, I understand that, but what specific process are you talking about? I just felt like the Lord was just starting to speak to my heart about process, that we're in a process with him. And we go through a lot of processes with him. But I believe this morning, this afternoon, the process that he wants to target to is the process of learning how to trust in the Lord. Because that is the foundation of our relationship with him. when we say yes to him, we say yes to his love, and this exchange starts happening. This exchange should start happening. If I'm receiving his love and I'm able to love the Lord back, he's pouring in his love in my heart and I'm able to love him back. And in that love connection and relationship, trust begins to be birthed. Trusting the Lord, trusting a deep, intimate trust that you trust him with your life, you trust him with your future, you trust him with your finances, you trust him with your children, with your future spouse, with the person that doesn't exist in your life yet. You begin to trust him. And I believe that the enemy of our heart and our soul, the one that would want to separate you eternally from our loving Father, wants you to interrupt, wants you to stop and to quit the process, the processes that leads us to trusting in the Lord more deeply. Are you with me this morning? That the Lord wants our connected relationship with him to be so close and so intimate, but that grows out of a relationship of trust. When we trust him with a little bit, you know, maybe at the beginning we're just saying, I don't know what I'm doing. I just have this feeling and I'm saying yes, because the truth that I'm hearing, either through someone or through scripture or through a video or through a message, I just know that I have to say yes to this love. And so it begins to be stirred, trust begins to be stirred up. And as our love relationship continues with the Lord, it should flow. That exchange should flow and trust will be created. Trust will be strengthened. Trust will take its place in our life and our heart with the Lord. So don't stop and don't quit. And hang with me in the, as I go through that I believe the Lord has laid out. So process, progress, advance. Process, something is going on. A natural phenomenon marked by gradual changes that lead toward a particular growth. A continuing nature, biological activity, or function such life processes as breathing. A series of actions or operations conducting to an end. So a series of actions or operations conducting to an end. So a series of actions and operations, the processes that we are in, are conducting us to an end. And what's our end? To be in eternity with Jesus? Not a trick question. So our beginning is we love the Lord, we say yes to him, and our end is that we're being prepared to be with him in eternity. Yes? Right? But from A to B, life happens. Right? Our life happens. And our life in Jesus, our life in Christ, our life in love with the Lord, it's so much sweeter, so much stronger, so much better when we're able to walk in that trust relationship with him. That's what makes our relationship with the Lord non-mechanical and non-technical, because we can step into a relationship with the Lord, but then we make it mechanical and technical. Well, I can't do this, I can't do that, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that, I can't wear this, I shouldn't talk to Louie and Susie, but I can talk to Bobby and Freddie. We get very technical and very mechanical. Well, that's not the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father is, I want to love you, kid. I want to love you and love you and love you so that you know love. Then you start changing inside, because what made sense to you yesterday doesn't today. Why? Because love impacted my life. Because when I thought I had to judge someone, I realized that that love says mercy. Grace, because love changes us. It has to look like something in our lives. And the foundation that carries that is my trust relationship with the Lord. Do I really trust him? And if I do trust him, that looks like something in my life, right? If we trust the person next to us, if we trust our roommate, our friend, our spouse, our grandma, our grandpa, our mom, our dad, that looks like something, right? We can trust them. We're at ease. We can relax. We can share things. We can commune with them. We can, you know, take Correction. We can take, hey, Cynthia, it's probably not a good idea. You know, you're right. I trust you. I trust that you are for me. And we need to understand that God is for us. And you might be saying, oh, thank you, Cynthia. That's a really nice word. Duh. We should, of course, we trust the Lord. But I'm asking you that back. But do you trust the Lord? But do we really trust the Lord? And why am I getting stuck to the floor? That was weird. Let's see. Let's try it again. All right. I am rooted and planted firmly. Yes, I'll take it. So the process that we are in, actions and operations, taking us somewhere, taking us into knowing the Father, taking us into His glory, taking us. So in that process, we're being conditioned. We're being trained up. Condition, readiness for use. That's what condition means, conditioning, to be conditioned for something. Readiness for use. You are being readied for usefulness in the kingdom of God. You are being conditioned in your relationship with the Lord. And that takes lots of shapes, that takes lots of forms, that takes very different situations, opportunities, and circumstances. But you are being conditioned and you're being trained up. To train, to teach as to make fit, qualified, or proficient, to form by instruction, discipline, or drill, to make prepared for a test of skill, to direct the growth, usually by bending, pruning, and tying, when referring to a plant. And you are all oaks of righteousness and vines and branches, or he's the vine, we're the branches, right? So think about that. When we're being trained up in the Lord, when we're being conditioned by the Holy Spirit, you're being prepared, readiness for use. You're becoming ready for use, for His glory. You're being trained up. Training is to direct our growth, usually by bending and pruning and sometimes tying, to form by instruction and discipline. So as we're falling in love with the Lord, as we're receiving more of His love and being able to give that back to Him, and we're starting to learn how to trust the Lord, it takes moments of conditioning and training to be able to help us get to that place of being able to trust with the Lord, be able to trust Him. Just like in a sport, right, when we're conditioned and we're trained, after doing something so many times, who here has ever played a sport, a team sport? Or I guess golf. But who's ever played? I can say that because my husband likes golf. Okay? So when you're, and it may be so for golf, I just don't know anything about that. Right, you're conditioned, right? For basketball, you name the sport, you go through, if you want to be decent at it, right? You're conditioned, we're conditioned, drills, up downs, and up here, and hold this, and go around. It's been a while since I've done sports, but but you're conditioned, you're trained. It's the same thing over and over. And you do it faster and you do it harder. And if you have a problem with that, your coach is there to tell you, hey, Peralta, get that glove down. What did I say, Peralta? Get that glove down. You want to stop the ball? Get the glove down. Right? That's what they're there for, to remind us, hey, you remember, you're down here. Remember this position, that position. So there's a conditioning that happens in an athlete to get them prepared for the big game, the little game, all the games. If you're really good, you know, you make it to, you know, pick a sport. The finals, the World Series, whatever it is. But you're being conditioned, you're being trained up. And in our walk with the Lord, there's certain things in our life that He's put in to condition us and to train us up. So when we get to those big moments, we know what we're doing, right? So we know what we're doing. So when crisis hits, we know what we're doing. When we're short on our rent, we know what we're doing. When we had a fight with our best friend, we should know what we're doing. And that is built through that love and trust relationship with the Lord. So we're being trained and conditioned. And how you already told me, some of you know what that's like in a sport. How many times do you want to quit? You know, when it's hot and you're running and they're telling you and somebody's yelling at you to get down, Peralta, if I get any more down. You know, you at that time, Peralta, I'm saying Peralta because that's when I played sports. Lip tack all the way. You know, but it gets hard. It becomes hard work because you're training, you're exercising, you're training your body to know what to do when something comes your way. Conditioning. There was a great experiment done in the desert called the biodome, creating a living environment for human, plant, and animal life. A huge glass dome was constructed to house an artificial controlled environment with purified air and water, healthy soil, and filtered light. The intent was to afford perfect growing conditions for trees, fruits, and vegetables, and as well as humans. People lived in the biodome for many months at a time, and everything seemed to be doing really well, with one exception. When the trees grew to a certain height, they were toppled over. It baffled scientists until they realized they forgot to include the natural element of wind. Trees need wind to blow against them because it causes their root system to grow deeper, which supports the trees as it grows taller. And that is by a gentleman named Dennis Merritt Jones. I had thought somebody here had said that before, or I heard it somewhere, so I decided to Google it and look it up. So isn't that crazy? That even in the most perfect environment that you could create, the trees weren't able to mature. They'd get so high and then they go, and nobody understood why. Nobody could get, like, it's this perfect glass thing, you know, purified air, and it's all good and great. But it couldn't go anywhere. It only reached a certain height. It could only go so far because it needed wind. Because when the wind blows, it creates the trees, gives them something to resist against. And as they're resisting against the wind, that shoots their roots down deeper and deeper. Trees can withstand water and wind damage. No tree species has perfect wind resistance, but live oak, palm, cypress, and a longleaf pine survive best. They have the favorable combination of deep, well-established lateral and tap roots with strong trunks. And I believe, as I said earlier, I think the Lord refers to y'all and myself as the oaks of righteousness, right? He's pretty intentional. I think the Lord is always intentional and very specific. That's why I have fallen in love with defining words, because sometimes I think I know what a word means and then I read the definition and I'm like, oh, right. It deepens the significance of it. So once we say yes to the Lord and we're oaks of righteousness, obviously the goal is for us to grow and to mature. And even in the most perfect environment where it's all peace and love and joy, the birds are singing and everything is perfect, we can only go so far because we need to resist. We need to be conditioned and trained in resisting something so that our roots can go down, so we can be rooted and grounded in love. Yes? You still with me? Still awake? And I'm going to expand that in a little bit. But when we're being conditioned, in the process of an athlete becoming an athlete and being conditioned, there's also positions that particular sports and team members, you know, and a position is an act of placing or arranging. So who's a Who would say they're a football expert here? Real quick. Andy, come up here. I need a baseball expert. Cameron, you've been volunteered. Anybody feel like they're a volleyball expert? Who do I have? Football, baseball, a volleyball? And I'll take a golfer. You do volleyball? Who's a golfer? Really, guys? Huh? A wannabe? I don't care. Somebody who knows something more about golf than I do. Join my panel. Huh? He's in the bag. Okay, and bear with me here. The three sports that I played were volleyball, basketball, and softball. So I will do my best, but bear with me. So Andy, the position of a lineman. Show me. Sure. Defensive. All right. Quarterback. All right. And running, the running guy. The running person. Wide receiver. All right. Thank you, Andy. So even myself, I kind of knew those. I asked to ask Lawrence for clarification on the drive here. But Andy, have you played football before?
Yes, quite horribly.
How long has it been since you played football?
A very long time.
Like a guesstimate.
Oh, well, I mean, I played catch probably last year with...
Yeah, but I mean like actual...
Oh, my goodness. Definitely grade school.
All right, so since grade school. But what did Andy know how to do? The position of each player, right? Maybe not perfectly, but he knew them. Good job, Andy. All right, baseball. Position for catcher. All right, position for an outfielder trying to catch a ground ball or stop a ground ball. Ground ball. Yes. And you did a fly already, but yeah, when it's in the... All right, position for a pitcher. Very nice. And why is that a good position for pitching?
So that is the stretch, so they can see what's going on all around them at any given time. If another player's on a base, they can address the catcher. They can watch, see what's going on. That's why it's a good position.
Awesome. Thank you. And how long has it been?
3 years. 3 years.
But that's pretty drilled in you, right?
Yes.
You can do it in your sleep. Somebody says, picture position.
Yes. I often am still going through the windup in my spare time.
Awesome. Thanks, Cameron. So, Cameron, thank you, baseball. So Cameron, who was conditioned probably more than any of the rest of us in that sport and what he does, he knew that. He knew how to do it. It's second nature to him. He hears the pounding of a glove. Yes, I did. So it doesn't matter where Cameron is, he hears that, he knows what he needs to do at a moment's notice. All right, volleyball. Do you know the position to block a spike?
To what?
Block a spike. So, okay. How about a position to serve the ball? Ah, she's an overhander. Good job. Underhand. Good job. All right, so if you're just on the court and the team has the ball and they're going to serve it over, what's your position? If the ball's coming to your team. To bump it.
Oh, like this?
Yes. Very good. Thank you, Amanda. Oh, wait, Amanda, I forgot to ask you, sorry. When was the last time you played?
On a team?
Yeah.
Like on an actual school team? 16 years.
Wow, okay. So.
All right. Well, see, she did really well for that. Thank you, Amanda. 16 years. So Amanda played it. How long did you play? How many years? Do you know?
At
school level. Okay, but even in 2 years, that was drilled into her. She knew she's up if there's a spike. She knew she's down. She knew how to serve overhand, which I never mastered. But thank you, Amanda. All right, our golf expert. Woo woo!
I've been out with some of you. You're all cowards. I can pick up
all right, since I know nothing of this.
Yeah, I know.
You grab your club, right?
Good so far.
And you stand by the ball.
Yep, nailed it.
How do you stand for that?
Well, depends on what you're hitting. Am I hitting a driver?
All right.
A wedge? What am I doing?
Driver.
Driver, it's a little bit of a longer club.
Okay. All right. All right.
That's like
in the legs just a little bit. Okay.
Hip straight. Oh, sorry. It looks like this.
All right.
How am I doing?
All right. So if you're going to hit with the, if you're going to putt.
If I'm putting, you stand over it a little bit more. You line it up. You want your feet to kind of point at the direction that you want to go.
And if you want to do something other than putt?
So if you're, depending on how far you want to hit it, you stand over the ball. Either it's closer to your front foot or it's closer to your back foot, depending on what kind of arc and direction and.
Nice. And how long have you been golfing?
I started informally in 2002.
2002. Very nice. Thank you.
Ask me when the last time I golfed.
When was the last time you golfed?
Thursday.
Thank you. So I think I've mastered golf, as I said.
Right?
How hard is that, guys? Come on. Just joking. You know, baseball, there's this, there's that. Oh, I forgot basketball. My bad. Well, I can tell you basketball. You know, hands up. Somebody's, you know, just trying to shoot. Hands up. We're blocking. You're following through if you're shooting. So there's positions that we're conditioned to when we're training to be athletes, and there's so many more sports. And I keep getting stuck back here. For running, I'm sure there's lots of things and all the other sports. And again, to save us from all time and energy and everything else. So my point is I hope you got the point, that there's different positions in which you're conditioned cheerleading, that you're conditioned for. Somebody in the back is cheering on cheerleading. That you're positioned for, we're conditioned to. So just as in our walk with the Lord, we're being conditioned and we're being trained to have certain positions. Now, if you want to make them physical, that's between you and the Lord. But what I'm talking about are positions of the heart. Those positions that he conditions us and trains us in early on in our walk with him are so that when the big winds come, we know what we're doing, right? So the Lord is conditioning and training our heart in humility to be ones who are ready to humble ourselves or to be in positions where we can lay down for the one next to us. Yes? Amen? So we're being trained and conditioned in humility. Or being trained and conditioned in servanthood. Is that because the Lord just wants a lot of people doing a lot of things for him? Or could it be that he has bigger intention and purpose in that? So he's conditioning us and training us how to serve, how to be uncomfortable, how to be okay with going overseas and not eating your specially packed red apron dinner. Is it red or blue? Whatever color of apron is delivered at our house. You know, is he conditioning us and training us to not think so much about ourselves, but to think about the one next to us, the one in front of us, the one behind us? So these are positions in the spirit that the Lord is conditioning and training us in. And they are so much sweeter because they really teach us how to trust the Lord. They teach us how to deepen our love relationship with him. And there's so many more other positions of the heart. Submission. He trains us and conditions us to be submissive to one another so that we can love one another, be submissive to him, realizing that he is God and we are not. Yes? So he's conditioning us. And again, I go back to what I started with. I believe that some of you are in the thick of that conditioning. You are in the middle of some very sweet, powerful, aggressive, direct conditioning by the Lord. And he's saying, don't quit, don't stop, don't tap out, and don't throw in the towel. Because at the end of that is more than we can ever think or imagine. The sweetness and the beauty of walking something out with the Lord, of going from point A to point B with him. There's nothing that compares to it. But it's up to us to not quit and not stop, to not throw in the towel. And the processes of being, knowing humility, knowing how to serve, how to, the word that we use here, and sometimes we love it, sometimes we hate it, to die to ourselves, to die to our selfish ways, is to refine us so that we become pure and perfected in him. So impurities are removed. Unwanted material. That's the definition of being refined. To become pure or perfected, free from impurities or unwanted material. And in the process, in the conditioning, in the training, it's refining us. It's refining us and it's making us more pure. Our motives, our thoughts, our actions are being purified because we're in that mode of being conditioned by the Lord in humility and dying to self and service and submission. And all of that produces maturity. All of that produces hope. James 1, chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Let it complete. Let the processes in our heart be completed. Let's complete the process that we've begun with the Lord. The conditioning of our hearts for him. Perseverance. Continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. The action or condition or an instance of persevering, steadfast. We sang about it this morning. To persevere, to continue through, to push through the training and the conditioning of our hearts. When we don't quit, when we don't stop, it pushes us through to maturity. It pushes us through into a deeper place with the Lord. But we can easily cut those processes. We can stop the conditioning when we don't stick through things that seem like trials to us. And sometimes they are, sometimes they are to the person going through the stuff, right? So that when trials come, when difficulty comes, and it could be a harsh, hard thing, it could be something that doesn't seem so harsh, but in the waiting, didn't we sing about this earlier? In the waiting, we wait for him. In the waiting, we trust him. In the waiting process, we're being conditioned and training. There's a lot of waiting, right? There's a lot of waiting in those moments. We're waiting for the desires of our heart. We're waiting for things to come to unfold for our futures, for our spouses, our friends, our children, whatever it is that we've been waiting for. The Lord is this morning is saying, continue to trust me because I am faithful. I am faithful. I am faithful. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you hanging. Don't stop. Don't quit. It's okay. You're in the waiting. You're being trained and conditioned. Don't interrupt the process. Don't throw in the towel. Don't think, wow, this is enough of this. I'm going to go and do it myself. The Lord is saying this morning, my son and my daughter, please don't do that. I love you. I know what I have for you. Keep trusting me. Keep trusting me. Keep trusting me because I love you. I love you like a fire. I love you. I love you. So what are the couple things that can knock us out from those processes? We can get tired, throw in the towel, as I said, and start doing our own thing. This is too hard. I've been waiting too long. I can't do this anymore. We exit. If obedience takes us to the heart of the Father, what would be disobedience? That takes us away from the heart of the Father. And in simple English, disobedience is rebellion. Rebellion to oppose or disobey one in authority, to act in or show opposition or disobedience, to feel or exhibit anger or revulsion. And I had to look that word up because I didn't know what that meant. A strong pulling or drawing away. So in our disobedience, we are in rebellion, and that causes us strong pulling or drawing away from the Lord. So that is one way to interrupt our conditioning and our trust walk with the Lord. A simple yes makes history. A yes, obedience makes history. A disobedience, a no, makes probably very different history than what the Lord intended. A lack of follow through. A lack of follow through to continue a stroke or motion to the end of its arc. To press on in an activity or process, especially to a conclusion. Follow through, the part of the stroke following the striking of a ball. So naturally speaking, going back to my whole sports thing today, there are three main reasons why follow-through is important. Continue your stroke motion all the way through ensures that you've hit the ball solidly in the direction where you want it to go. By following through, you can more accurately direct the ball to your target. Correct follow-through reduces injury. You know, so follow-through with the bat, hit all the way through as... Nobody demonstrated, I guess, just me. You know, in basketball, you follow through. You hit that wrist so it goes where you want it to go. In serving or bunting the ball in volleyball, you follow through so it goes where you go. Follow through. That was another word that I felt the Lord was speaking to me. Follow through. Some of us, it's really hard to follow through something from the beginning to end. Some of us, it's really hard for us. We start something and then we quit. We pick it back up. Maybe we don't. But the Lord is saying, follow through, guys. Follow through with what I've put before you, what I've spoken to you. Follow it through. Yes, it may be hard. Yes, it's not going to be easy all the time. But follow through so you can be accurate and you can land where I've put you, where I've intended for you to land. When we follow through, follow it through, a batter would be weird if he stopped halfway, right? It's called bunting, and then the ball drops here, and then you got to know really well how to run. Right? Or in anything else, if you don't follow through, the ball always falls what? Short. If the dude that passes it, it's a little toss, you know, piled and whatever, interference or interrupted or whatever the words are. So if we don't go all the way, Troy's trying to help me. If we don't follow through, we fall short. So this morning, the Lord wants to strengthen and empower us by His Spirit to be able to follow through. Follow through in the things that He has for us and the things that He has called us to. Passive, a lack of energy or will, not active. Enduring without resistance, non-resistance, tolerating and yielding. So passive. It's sometimes easy for us to become passive in our walk with the Lord and our love relationship with Him. And what does that mean? That we lack energy, we lack will, and we are enduring a relationship, or we're enduring the things that are coming without resistance. We're not resisting. When we're passive, we're just like, what? Whatever, sure. Oh, it's hot, okay. Oh, it's cold, okay. Blue's my favorite. No, I mean, red's my favorite. Oh, okay, purple is yours. Okay, yeah, I kind of like purple too, you know? We're really just kind of bouncing around. Whatever feels good or sad or happy, I don't know. We're just, there's no, nothing. There's no life. There's no energy. There's no will. There's no resistance to say, no, you know what? I think purple's cool, but I really like red. You know, and sometimes that's how we can become in our relationship with the Lord or with the enemy. We need to get to that place where we can start voicing who we are. And when temptation comes, we start saying, no, thank you. No, thank you. I have other things to do. I'm about my Father's business, and this is going to interrupt my love relationship and my trust relationship with the Lord. So you know what? No, thank you. No, thank you. And we have to get to that point in our relationship with the Lord so we're not just being bumped around by sin, by temptation, by the negative things in our life, the dark things in our life. We have that ability, church. We have that ability to stir ourselves up, to be empowered, to say no, no, no. We can do that. We can. So 10 years ago, this past April, my dad passed away very unexpectedly. In Arizona, he was a cowboy, he was on a horse, there was an accident, so he passed away. And it was actually the same day that I found out I was pregnant with Isabella. So that was 10 years ago. So there's been a process in my heart. There's been a conditioning in my heart on how to continue to live honestly with something like that happening in my life. So fast forwarding to June 2017, I got word that my mom was sick in Arizona. She had been put in the hospital, and so I left. I arrived to the news that she was being diagnosed with cervical cancer, and I returned back here to Ohio with my mom. When I went, I was not that wasn't in my mind or plan or thinking. But it was in the Lord's. So I brought her home, and from June 2017 to July 2018, when we were able to get her back home to Arizona, was quite a period of time in my life. I became her sole caregiver. When we got to Cleveland Clinic, they diagnosed her with cervical cancer. She was stage 3, pretty advanced. So it was a lot of happening. My world completely changed, and there was a lot that happened. The couple of things that I do want to share with you today. I don't know. It was several months in, so this is in and out of hospitals quite frequently, sleep deprived, and you know, eating, not eating, that those things were not a priority nor importance to me at the time. But we had got home from the hospital, and my mom needed some things so that I could take care of her at home, so I went to the Drug Mart up the street from my house. And again, I was sleep deprived. I was tired. I was emotionally, you know, in a whirlwind. Every part of me was weak. Let's just put it that way. I was just mentally weak, emotionally, physically, every kind of weak that you can imagine. And days before, I had been having these thoughts and feelings and urges of wanting to quit, wanting to tap out and throw in the towel because it was hard. It's hard on many levels. And so I had been just having thoughts and feelings of wanting to numb my pain, wanting to numb my thoughts, wanting just tap out. I need a break. I need, this is too much, Lord. I can't. So the thoughts and feelings and even urges of drinking were starting to come up. And I'm not a drinker. I've never drank. I've tasted wine or something here and there, but that's not. When I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 15, he did something in my heart where it's a very deep personal conviction for myself because of my family history. So I just don't drink. That's not for me. Anyhow, but in those moments, I seriously, I don't know even how to articulate it, but it was such a strong pull and urge. Like, it's okay, everybody would understand, you know, you need this. Just, it's all right, you just need that relief. It's really okay. The Bible says you can, you know, take a drink, but not gonna, you know, all these conversations going on in my mind. So I'm in the aisle getting supplies for my mom, and I ended up walking at Drug Mart, has a very extensive hard liquor section. And I had to walk through the aisle to get to the pharmacy counter. And I wasn't thinking. I'm just walking and thinking and I'm feeling and I'm tired and Lord, I'm exhausted and it's been a long process and my mom's sick and they tell me she's dying and Lord, what am I doing? And I'm walking through the liquor aisle. And those thoughts and feelings and urges come back. And I don't know how I can have an urge or cravings for something that I've never had, but it was that strong. And so I make it to the pharmacy counter, and I'm walking back through the liquor aisle, and something inside me rose up because it was strong. It was really strong. And I pointed at the aisle as I was walking through, and I found myself saying, "You will not have me." And I walked through, and I made it out of the store, and I continued my journey with the Lord and my mom. I'm sharing that because the point is, we can say no when temptation comes. We can say no when we're so weak emotionally, physically, because we've been through a lot of hardship. But we can say no. We can say no because I knew that wasn't just a drink. I knew the goal and intention was for me to lose myself, to become something that I am not. And so in that moment, it was so real and it was so tangible, and it's only by the power of his spirit that I was able to do that and that I'm standing here today. Yesterday was 9 months that my mom passed away. I took her home to Arizona in July. We came back in August, visited a couple of times, and she passed away in September. But it's only by the grace of God, and only by his power, and only by his spirit, and only by his conditioning that I was able to live the life that I did for that, whatever it is, year and a half, you know, of being in a very tough situation. So resist the devil, my beloved church. It's time that we offer resistance, not passivity, not passivity. We can't be passive. We got to guard and protect that we are a new creation in him. So when the enemy's trying to stir us up, for me in that moment, it was alcohol. For somebody else, it can be 100 of things. It can be a lot of things. But we have to be able to do that. And I could do that because I love him, because I trust him, because I had seen his faithfulness month after month after month. When people would say, "This is it, this is it." And my mom continued and she continued. You know what I'm saying? So there's a conditioning. But I wouldn't have been able to know that. I wouldn't have been able to be in position to say no if I had cut out from the process with the Lord. Are you hearing me? Am I making sense? because those wins are going to come. And at first, it might be little wins. You know, I have to trust the Lord for, you know, the smaller things. I hate saying that because to the person going through it, it's not small. So different things. I was facing life and death with my mom. And the only way that I was able to do that was because I had been in that love and conditioning relationship with the Lord, that I could trust him, that I could close my eyes and say, Lord, this is crazy. This is crazy, Lord, but I trust you, that you are faithful, that you are for me, that you are for my mom, that you have hope for us, that you have a future for us, Lord. I thank you that in you I have a hope, that my hope is renewed in you, Father, and I will continue to push, and I will continue to press on. And that's how we have to speak to ourselves, church. We have to encourage ourselves that, yes, I'm in this right now, but you know what? I'm saying no to sin, and I'm saying yes to Jesus, and I'm going to make it through. I'm going to make it through this. I'm looking for my resist. Here we go. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. So be on alert. A passive, we can't be on alert and be passive. Those don't go well together. Right? If I'm on alert, if I'm in position, what? I'm alive, right? I'm alert. I'm looking, I'm waiting, I'm seeing, I'm observing, I'm alert. Right? If we're passive, we're blindsided, we're caught off guard, and there we are in the position, in the situation, and how did I get myself buying a bottle that I shouldn't be buying, or how did I get myself watching what I shouldn't be watching? Because we the enemy loves to pacify us. Life likes to pacify us. We get weak. So we need to be on alert, and we need to resist him. We need to resist him. We need to offer resistance. That's what Scripture tells us. We're to love the Lord, and we're supposed to resist the devil. And everything is going to come from that. We resist him. We offer something back. I'm telling you guys, the Lord is saying, offer something back in your situation. Offer something back. No, that's not who I am. I'm not. I won't. I can't. We need to offer something back and not just become tossed to and fro. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Hebrews 21:11. Do not lose heart, I guess, is to this morning. Don't lose heart. Don't stop. Don't quit and don't tap out. Don't throw in the towel. Allow the Lord's process of conditioning you and trusting him for the bigger things, the little things, however you want to see that, the valuable things. There was other moments in that time period that I was speaking of when I was with my mom where things were getting crazy. There were just moments where I just didn't know what else, you know, to do. After I prayed, after we contended, after we, you know, for the situation at any given moment, which changed a lot. Lots of hospitals, lots of ERs, visits, a lot of procedures and different things. But there were moments where I was just like, Lord, I just need to know you're with me, Lord. I just if you're here, I'm good. If you're here, I know I'm safe. If you're here, I know where we need to be. And there were several times when I would, my heart would cry out that way, and I would hear, shh, 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 shh. You know, and it wasn't the harsh when sometimes I tell my kids, you know, when I'm frustrated and I want them to zip their lip, shh, shh, okay, then, shh. You know, it wasn't one of those. It was a shh, shh, shh. Like when you're holding a baby and it's crying and it's not sure why it's crying, but you want to comfort it, right? So you get in a certain position, shh. And it comforts them, and it lulls them into a safe place, eventually, for some. But the Lord did that for me several times in this process, where I just heard His sweet, His holy, His powerful, shh, 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 shh. And I was okay, even though you're in the ER and bells are going off, and medical teams are rushing over, and things are going crazy, and you're overhearing what everything is being said, and it's your mom that's there. You can hear the whisper of the Lord, shh, 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 shh. And I can lean into that. And know that I am loved and that I am saved and that everything is going to be okay because of the hope and the love relationship between him and I and my mom and him, because she's just there staring at me, smiling, knowing that the Lord is ultimately in control of everything, of our entire life. And that's the kind of position that we want to find ourselves in when the wind starts blowing really strong, or when we've been waiting for something for so long and the enemy's pushing us to quit the process, to step out of the path that the Lord has laid out for us. So don't stop, church. Don't quit. Fall in love with Jesus. Let His love radically transform you. And if your relationship has become mechanical or logistical with the Lord, yes, I love Him. Yes, I go to church. I pray. I don't pray. I respect Him. He's God. The Lord is looking for a love relationship where there's an exchange of deep intimacy and connection. Thank you, Lord. Check my notes here to make sure that I didn't leave something out that the Lord highlighted to me. I do have pages of scripture, but we'll save those for... Well, let me see. I lied. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because that is the verse that you wanted. I think He highlighted this verse to me like four different times, four different ways, in a literal Bible, two Bibles, an app, and on a website. So thank you, Lord, that you just reminded me to share that with your lovely church here. So trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your bodies and refreshment to your bones. I just want to close with one more last thing here. You know, we talk a lot about breakthrough. You know, I'm waiting for my breakthrough. I want breakthrough. When's my breakthrough? Two things. That breakthrough is active. It's moving through or beyond an obstacle. It's advancement, refinement, and enhancement. So going back to the passivity, it's hard to have breakthrough when we're passive, because breakthrough is active. In order to break something, what do you got to do? Huh? You got to hit it? You got to break it, right? There's something. Right? If we're breaking something, is it going to... I wish I had something. Oh, break. Break. I'm waiting for you to break. I'm just breaking. Oh, no. Christy's doing something. Oh. Oh, here we go. We're going to break. Thank you, Christy. And we have to do something. There's activity. There's motion. So a position of passivity is my point. It's going to be really hard to get to breakthrough, because we need to be active. We need to be offering the resistance to the enemy so that our breakthrough can manifest. It can come. And I heard a message by a wonderful man in Arizona. My brother Jesus, he's a pastor in Arizona, but he was talking, I don't know, two times ago when we were there, about breakthrough. And something I know and something I've heard before, but anyway, it just really impacted me when he said it. Our breakthrough happened, church. It happened at the cross. That was our breakthrough. Our breakthrough from death to life. Our breakthrough from darkness to light. That was it. That was our breakthrough. So if you're waiting for breakthrough, it's happened. It happened a long time ago. And when we said yes to Jesus, we received that by faith. So you've had your breakthrough. You're not your old self. You're a new self. You're not dead. You're living. You're alive. And you're active. And he's active. And we're moving together towards the goal so that he will be glorified on this earth in our day, in our time, while we're alive. That the nations were here and they will bow down to the name of Jesus. So our breakthrough is here. Your breakthrough is here. So stop telling us. You can tell the lies in your head to stop, because you have breakthrough. And if you want to continue in a pattern of breakthrough, what do? We fall in love with Jesus more each day, and we offer resistance to the enemy, and we stand when the trials come, because we're people who persevere. Can you say that with me? I persevere. Oh my goodness. If I was the enemy, I'd be like, yeah, okay. Okay, so one more time, church.
I persevere.
Okay, okay, ooh. Okay, they said it. I'm teasing you, but I'm not. All right. Is that better? In position? Okay. I hear, yes, Lord. I persevere and I resist because I love him. That's a long one. I resist, I persevere because I love him. Ready? On the count of three or after three? 3, 2, 1. I all right, I guess I'll leave you guys alone. But I want the lion and lionesses in you to rise up. So when the big winds come, we know how to get into position because we've been conditioned and trained in a love, trust relationship with our God. So Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this morning. Lord, I thank you that you make these words become revelation, Father, in the hearts and in the minds and in the spirits, Lord, of our innermost beings, Lord God. I just thank you, Holy One, that your word is true, Lord God, and that you don't want us to quit. You don't want us to tap out, Lord God, that you don't want us leaning on our own understanding, but you're saying, trust me. I have a plan. I have hope. I have purpose, and I have a future for you. Keep going. Keep doing what you're doing, loving me and loving those around you. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that each person here, Lord, is so valuable and is so loved by you, Lord. Father, and that I do declare out, Father God, where areas need breakthrough, Lord Jesus. I just pray, Father, for awakening in us, Lord God, that as we trust in you, Lord Jesus, it will be healing to us, Lord God, that it will be refreshing to our bones, Lord. Where we feel our bones are dried up, Lord God, I pray that by your Spirit, Lord, that fire would be shot up in our bones this morning, Lord, this afternoon as we head home and out to the world around us, that we would be people who resist the devil, that we would be people who persevere, Lord God, and that we push through so that you will be glorified, O God. So I thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit you empower us. By you we are strong. Because of you, Lord, we are rooted and grounded in love. By you, Father, we live in a hope that cannot be shaken or stolen, Lord Jesus. So I thank you, Lord, that you would fortify your church this morning, Lord Jesus. That you would strengthen us, O God. That you would keep us positioned in humility and servanthood, Lord God, in submission to you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we would shake off sin, Lord God, that entangles us so easy, Lord Jesus, and we would continue to run the race, Lord. We thank you, Holy One, for your love, and we thank you for your goodness and your powerful name, Lord God, and your loving, powerful name. We say amen. Well, thank you, everyone, for hanging in there. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. See you on Tuesday. See you on Sunday. Oh, sorry, my bad. See you on Tuesday. See you on Friday for First Friday. And see you on Sunday for a mission picnic. Love you all. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International, or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.